The air was vibrating. I could feel the power emanating from Naui after she said, "Time to end this for good." We'd just left Jima's funeral. I mean, that's the only thing I could think to call it, but it wasn't like any funeral I'd ever gone to. Nobody had actually said anything, not Wusa or Anaya, the elder warrior, or Asha, the seeker, or Safina, the jailer. They'd all stood there in silence in what looked like a beautiful field under a starry night sky inside a pyramid, with Jima's remains in the form of pure energy floating over them. Wusa was suddenly with us, staring at Naui, the god thing. It was always jarring to me when gods or goddesses, for that matter, did this. It wasn't like they materialized. They were just there as if they'd been there the whole time. The moment I saw her, I thought she'd try to stop Naui from leaving. She didn't say anything, though. Just extended her index finger and touched Naui at the center of her forehead. Then she looked over and did the same thing to myself and O. Honestly, the moment I felt her finger against my skin, it was like a spark. If you've ever had somebody touch you after they built up static electricity, that's kind of what it felt like, but it was more powerful. She looked at us, all of us, and said that she was taking what was left of Jima to its final resting place, but she wanted to make sure she gave us the memory of how she died. It was important for us to understand her sacrifice and what it meant. So when we were ready, we could access the memory and see it. I imagined it was like some kind of download. Wusa hugged me and O, then kissed Naui on the top of her head. "I love you more than you could possibly understand," she said. "Be careful." And that was it. She was suddenly gone. A split second later, we were standing back in the ruins of Kush, outside of New Nubia. It was an amazing civilization. I was grateful to have finally seen it. My guess was that Wusa had transported us out instantly, and in that moment, we were standing under a cloudy night sky that threatened to rain. I could see tears threatening, actually, to come out of Naui's eyes, but they didn't. O took her hand and, with his shadow armor activated, asked if she was ready. I activated my shadow armor, and Naui pushed O's hand away. I guess she wanted to fly with me. I really wasn't sure about their relationship status at this point. So much had happened. The golden glow in Naui's eyes swelled just as I offered my hand, and instead of taking it, she crouched down, and a split second, there were wings, like an angel. They just appeared, glowing with the same golden light as her eyes. Majestic, powerful. Then she gave me and O this sly grin and rocketed straight up into the air. Me and O just looked at each other. What just happened? We both leaped into the air after her, and I swear she'd climbed 1,000 feet in less than a second. By the time O and I were airborne, Naui was a tiny dot way off in the distance. I wasn't sure if we could keep up with her. Then she seemed to, I don't know, the only way to describe it is go in reverse. In the blink of an eye, she was gliding with us right smack in the middle. I looked over at her, opened my mouth, then closed it, then opened it again, and closed it. I couldn't put the words together. Couldn't express how proud of her I was. She'd really gotten good with this power of creation business. She was still my Naui, of course, but she was more, and that also made me feel sad. I wasn't sure why at that moment. And suddenly Dad popped into my head. I wondered what he'd think of his only daughter if he could see her now. Then a panic suddenly surged up inside me. Dad! My parents. With everything that had happened, the battle with Seth, the parallel universe, the thought of my parents hadn't really entered my mind. How long had it been? Weeks? I didn't see police cars or anything when we'd arrived at Naoi's house, but it didn't mean that Dad didn't have every agency on the planet looking for me. Just as the worry was swelling inside my stomach, a gentle voice in my head whispered, "Not to worry. They won't even realize that you were gone." Wusa, reaching out telepathically. To say I breathed a sigh of relief was an understatement. It's nice having a goddess who can take care of things like that. Golden beams of light suddenly projected from Naoi's eyes. They pierced through the clouds we were flying above, and I imagined that from the ground, they might look like rays of sunlight breaking through. Wow! More surprises! I'd asked her how much she could see, and Naoi said, "A lot of nothing." Even with her powers, finding Seth wasn't going to be easy. Especially if he were wounded. His soldiers would have hidden him, and that hiding place might not even be in this world. I allowed my armor to cover my eyes and allowed my instincts to take over. I noticed that O had done the same. At the same time, I decided to tap into that memory that Wusa had given us about Jima's last battle. Maybe seeing it would give me some kind of clue of where they might have hidden him. The memory Wusa planted was easy to find, actually. The moment my eyes were covered, it was in the form of a tiny sphere of light hovering in the darkness of my consciousness. At first, I wasn't quite sure how to access it. And it was in that moment that I felt myself drifting toward it. And as I got closer, I accelerated into blinding light, and it gradually faded. I was hovering above an infinite football field. Or at least my eyes were. Didn't have arms or legs. Just eyes. I could see Jima pounding against a tornado composed of dark sand. Ugh! Oh, the memories were coming back. So strange to see things like this, though, from this point of view. Naoi, me, and her mother Wusa were on the other side of that tornado, and Jima was desperate to get in. So this was what it all looked like from the outside. Something thundering toward the tornado. The giant, 50 feet tall and suddenly reaching into the tornado to grab us. In different parts of the field, soldiers battling warriors. The dark sands of Ok created a fog that made it difficult to see. Lightning flashes. Anaya taking on the soldier with the flaming hair. Balls of flames rocketing toward Anaya, who swatted them away with her staff. Then a tsunami as tall as a skyscraper thundering into the field. No idea where the water came from, but there was no doubt who'd conjured it. Funza. Warriors and soldiers pounded by the wall of water as it swept through. It was chaos pure and simple, and even watching it from this high up was extremely stressful. There were other battles going on, but I focused on Jima as she ran up the leg of that giant past its hips and chest until she arrived at its shoulder and spiked her walking stick into its shoulder. The giant toppled, and I thought, how could someone that old move like that? Jima was incredible. She kept going, knocking one soldier after the next away with her walking stick, spinning, jumping, and twisting like a whirlwind. I'd never seen her in battle, never seen what she was truly capable of doing. When she struck a soldier, it was both brutal and graceful. She made it look effortless, and it was in that moment that I realized, truly, why she was the greatest warrior to ever walk the planet. And as she blurred from one soldier to the next, I could see her glancing back at Wusa, who used her shield to protect warriors that had been wounded in battle. A second warrior would pull the wounded one out to safety, and Wusa quickly moved on to another. Wusa, while she wasn't a warrior, while she didn't know the first thing about wielding a weapon or hand-to-hand combat, she had a warrior's heart. I read somewhere once, don't know where exactly, that battle could be glorious, but there was nothing glorious about what I was seeing. It was dirty and chaotic. It was the thing that could weave nightmares that blasted into your mind and held onto it with an iron grip. Jima was turning the tide of the battle, though. Along with Anaya, she'd laid out several of the soldiers. Wusa looked up after saving yet another warrior, and there was a moment where, despite the chaos of battle, she looked at Jima and the love. It was the most powerful thing on that battlefield, and it was obvious. Wusa truly, truly loved Jima. Jima turned back at that moment, checking up on Wusa, and there was sudden panic in her eyes. Something streaked out of the sky, a glimpse of a sword, brilliant. The blade looked like it was made out of, well, the first thing that popped into my mind was, like, starfire. As the sword came down, seconds away from slicing into Wusa's back, I could see Seth's crooked smile, but just a flash of it. Before I could blink, Jima had run right into the sword's path, and there was an explosion of light. Once it had faded, I could see Jima, and she wasn't moving. Several feet away, I'm not sure how far, I could also see Seth on the ground. It seemed that Jima had struck him too. Warriors poured into the area, and before they could get to Seth, a giant hand composed of water scooped him off the ground. Funza. I could see her inside of a water giant. With another hand, she swept several warriors away. Dark sand twisted into a tornado around Funza and Seth, and within seconds, they were gone. Oh. Wusa's hand rested on Jima's motionless body, and despite the glow that emanated from it, Jima didn't move. A crack of thunder, and the memory that Wusa had planted was gone. I removed the shadow armor from my eyes, and I realized that we were in the middle of a thunderstorm. Black clouds, the flicker of lightning in the distance. Naoi motioned for us to land. After we had descended through the storm, I saw a patch of deserted beach. We landed, and I looked around. There were hills, or were those mountains? They stretched as far as my eyes could see. It felt like the kind of place you might see on one of those, you know, animal documentaries. A place that was wild and pretty much untouched by humans. Naoi sat down on the sand, staring off at the ocean. I had this feeling she'd seen the memory of Jima's death as well. And when she looked at me, well, I knew for sure. She wiped the raindrops from her face and stood up. It wasn't coming down as hard as I expected. It was honestly a drizzle. Me and O watched Naoi as she took the tip of Aja, her staff, and dipped it into the ocean. I wasn't exactly sure what she was doing, so I asked her. She said that she'd thought she'd seen something that looked a lot like Funza looking up from the ocean and waving at her. It didn't last very long. A glimpse, really. So she was using Aja in the same way that we used our shadow armor to sense things. Something she'd thought to create and place inside of Aja while we were in flight. She swayed to the side and O steadied her. She was literally falling asleep on her feet. Half god or not, Naoi needed some sleep. I looked at O, and I could tell he was thinking the same thing. She looked at both of us, and even though we hadn't said a word, she shook her head. She wasn't gonna sleep until he was caught and in prison where he belonged. She shooed both of us away, stood for a few more seconds, then sat down. The half-human part of her was winning, yay. Now he looked up at the both of us, eyes struggling to stay open. Maybe I'll just rest my eyes, she said, and I sat down near her. She laid her head on my shoulder. O took a portion of his shadow armor and created what looked like an igloo. Then he picked Naui up, took her inside, and laid her down. He told me to set my phone alarm for an hour. Inside the igloo, it was dry and quite warm. The darkness and the sound of the ocean waves was making me sleepy. I could rest my eyes too, just for a bit. They closed. Then, with what felt like a few seconds later, I heard a familiar sound. It was Funza. I popped my head out of the igloo and a water giant was standing in the middle of the ocean. Now he moved past me and looked up at the giant. I could hear Funza's voice say, "Hi, Naui." And it was always so weird to hear her voice, actually, because it literally sounded like a little girl. Gripping Aja tight, Naui asked where Seth was. I wasn't sure what I was expecting Funza to say, but the one thing I wasn't expecting was, "Follow me." And the giant began walking away from us. We all looked at each other. Was it a trap? Of course it was. Naui's wings popped out, and for some reason, she looked at me and said, "I trust her. Come on." She flew into the air, and without thinking, I followed. O was right behind me. Where would this lead? In that moment, I had no idea. On March 30th, prepare yourself for the last episode of Naui of the Lightning Tribe. For those of you that have been with me since the beginning, thank you. And join me soon on Storyville, a new YouTube channel that I created where you can listen to The Chronicles of Detective Bender, The Super Secret Adventures of George, and Monsters. Stay tuned.